This is Missions Weekend, and so if you're new to Osler Mission Chapel, we have a heart for missions, and we support a lot of missionaries. We send out missionaries, and we continue to do that. And so this weekend, our offering this weekend, unless otherwise designated, all of it goes towards missions. Of course, now in this time where we give differently, you may want to just designate it when you're giving online, that you want to designate it for missions, and it will go to missions. So missions are hugely important. In fact, Pat and I had the privilege of dinner by fours this week. We sat down, and we didn't have dinner by four, but we had coffee with them, and it was a bit of a distance. We were having coffee with somebody in Germany, one of our missionary couples in Germany, so it was really great to connect with that missionary couple in this time as well. And so if you're joining us on the mission field, our missionaries, welcome here. We're excited that you're joining us. Thank you for joining us. And we trust that God is continuing to work in and through you as you serve him faithfully. So thank you for joining us. I just want to make one announcement today, and that is baptism. We are excited that we're going to at some point this spring, we will have baptism, and so if you're interested in baptism, if you haven't been baptized as of yet, and you feel God is calling you to take this step of obedience, then I would encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit's call on your life. And it doesn't matter what age you are, whether you're younger or whether you're older, you're married, it doesn't matter at what stage of life you are, but if you haven't been baptized and God is calling you to take this step of obedience, to simply say, yes, I want to make a testimony of publicly of what Jesus Christ did in my life, then we want you to do that. So contact Pastor Dan, or you can get in touch with any of us pastors, but Pastor Dan oversees baptism, and so if you want and are interested in baptism, please take time to just seek God and follow through in that step of obedience. And you can call or text, and we can make that happen this spring. I'm excited that you're joining us today. Whether or not you are new here, whether or not you know who I am Gary. I am one of the pastors here, and I do welcome you here. I realize and recognize we do have some people here, and we're thankful that we can have some people here. Now, I am with you, and I understand, and I know, and I'm tired like you are of this COVID season. I'm tired of masks. I'm tired of restrictions. I'm tired of all those things. And so as a church, I'm just inviting you to pray together, to encourage each other. Don't lose heart. And at this point, we as a church, we're going to continue as we have been with following these restrictions. Now, that doesn't mean that we are excited about that. It doesn't mean this is what we want for the rest of the church life. In fact, it's absolutely not what we want for church life. Because that's not how we operate. We believe it's still for a season, and we trust that that season will end soon. So pray with us. Last month in January, we had a series on fasting and prayer. And I would encourage you to take this matter to prayer and to fasting. That God would somehow miraculously open the doors somehow, some way, that we would take masks off. But in the meantime, and in that time that we are in right now, man, I'm just urging you to walk in unity, even if we have different views of masks, if we have different views of how to follow restrictions. It's okay to have those different views and opinions, but let's walk in unity. Let's not become enemies over this. That's what Satan wants, absolutely. But there is so much in the scripture that talks about walking in unity. Oh, Apostle Paul he was so concerned for the churches because there was different things that were coming into the church that were causing disunity. And he was encouraging his brothers and sisters in Christ, and as I'm encouraging you, to walk in unity. Because we don't see eye to eye on some of these issues, that doesn't mean that we're enemies, that we should conflict with each other. We need to love each other like we've never loved each other before. Oh, church, we need to love each other. We need to walk in unity now more than ever, showing the love of Jesus to each other, to the world around us. Pray with me. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Almighty God, you are not surprised by this COVID thing we are walking through. In fact, you have the power, you have the ability to remove it completely, or the power and the authority to allow us to walk through it. And at this point, we're walking through it. God, that we may be found faithful as we walk through these days. May we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Period. Father, may you bring us together. May we walk in unity. May the love of Jesus pour out of us to each other. May we walk in unity together. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We are currently in a series called Love, Dates, and Heartaches. And today I'm going to spend our time briefly talking about dating. And it's been a couple of years since I dated. And so who am I to talk about dating? And as I was reading something just before the service started today, as I was reading something, I made a crucial mistake, because we're talking about reaching out to different generations and Gen Z, how they respond to different things. And the very title of my sermon is actually not going to be that good with the Gen Z people that mostly are going to be dating. There's others dating, of course, in all age groups, but predominantly Gen Z, we're going to think at some point they will be dating. And so they don't even like the title. And it was too late for me to change the title that last minute, because I use it lots. And so Gen Z, be gracious to me. I'm an old man. And so trust that. And in fact, it said in this article that anybody over 25, they just consider you to be a boomer. And I'm not a boomer. Pastor Dan is a boomer because he was born in 1964. And so I'm not. I'm younger. I just want to make that clear. I love Pastor Dan, even though he's a boomer. Probably because he's a boomer. So who is this message for if I'm talking about dating? Well, this message is for single people, obviously. This message is for people who might be planning on dating shortly, maybe somebody who is currently dating, maybe it's somebody who's married. I think there's some things in here, in fact, that I'm hoping will change my marriage because they really spoke to me. Maybe it's somebody who's just gotten married or going to get married. One of the things, if you've tried to look for something to speak on out of the Bible about dating, you will find very quickly that there is nothing in the Bible about dating. Nothing. Now, and I think it has to do, obviously, with in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, marriages in the Bible were arranged. Can you imagine how stress-free that would be to have your wedding arranged? You don't ever have to think about, oh, does that person like me? Did they even notice me? I did my hair. Did they notice? Did they look at me? You know, you ask your friend, there's all of those things, or you get out your phone and you're ready to phone, and there's sweaty palms. Should I phone them? Yes or no? Should I text them? Now it's about texting. Should I text them? Yes or no? Oh, do I hit send? No, yeah. Oh, it's gone. Now what do I do? It's gone. Did they get it? There's all this stuff you have to worry about. Wouldn't arranged marriages be great? I think so. It's in the Bible. Shouldn't we do that? Isn't that what we should be looking for? Probably not. I'm thinking in our culture, probably not. The New Testament, although the Bible doesn't have anything to say about dating, the Bible does have a lot to say about relationships. It talks a lot about love, including the relationship, the love between one man and one woman becoming one through the covenant of marriage, but nothing specifically about dating. So we're going to take a look at what we can learn about love and relationships from the Bible today. Now, here's a disclaimer, and I preached this message back in April of 2019. April 26, 2019, it will be on YouTube because I checked. And I want you to keep in mind, and this was the sermon title back then, Single is Not Second Class. So keep that in mind, that because you are single, if you are single, it does not mean that you are a second class citizen. The Bible does not teach that anywhere. The Bible teaches that single people can and do have rich and full lives. The Bible also teaches that married people can and do have rich and full lives. They're just different. And each comes with its own blessings and challenges. Being single and being married is not second class. Check that out. If you are single and you're struggling with some of that. Today, I'm going to call my sermon Adulting Through Love, Dates, and Heartache. You see, the Gen Z people don't like that word adulting, apparently. So I'm sorry if I have immediately offended you. Please be gracious with me. Today, I'm going to be very straightforward with you. I'm not going to beat around the bush because we're talking about an adult topic. So I'm going to treat our adults, our teenagers, our young adults, I'm going to treat you like the adults you are because we're talking about an adult subject matter. So I will address you in that way. The reason that I am so passionate about this topic, the reason it's so important to me, is because of the implications that dating has in marriages and the struggles that happen in marriages. Because maybe we have had poor dating habits or practices in the past. And I know that specifically from my own marriage. And I'm not going to even blame my wife that I put all this on me. Some of those struggles and challenges that I'm well aware of that happen. The other thing that it's so important to me is because I want you to know and to understand the impact and the implications that it has for not only you. Dating does not only impact you, the person who is dating. It impacts your family. It impacts you, it impacts the person you're dating and their family. And if we're dating for the very purpose of what God designed it for, marriage, that's the purpose we date. If we're dating for that purpose, then chances are we may be dating and it may impact our children in the future. The reason this is so important to me is because it can lead to a lifetime of heartache. But it can also lead to a lifetime of joy and victory and greatness. Simply put, dating is preparation for marriage. Dating is an adult activity for adults preparing for an adult marriage. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I'm going to read it out of the NASB. And we're gonna. You can just hang out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read some more verses just a little further down the road. But you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And it says this. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, an adult, I did away with childish things. He starts off in this passage, when I was a child. So back when I was a child, we do what everyone expects a child to do, right? We speak like a child, or sorry, we spoke like a child. When we were a child, what did we do? We spoke like a child. When I was a child, we thought like a child. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. Because that's what children do. That's what is expected of children. To speak, to think, and to reason, and to act like children. Expectations of children are different of that from an adult. We tend to be more gracious with children when they have some actions or they act like children versus an adult because they're not adults, so we don't expect them to act like an adult. There are things that people find cute and adorable about children and how they act and some of the things they say and some of the things they do, but as an adult, not so much. They're not very cute anymore. My wife has told me some of those things very expressively and hurtfully at times. If I were to stand up here and throw a tantrum because I didn't want to get off the stage when I was done, you guys would look at me very differently. Is he for real? Did he snap? Did he have a breakdown? If I'm on the floor pounding my head, I don't want to go. You would look at me very differently. Because that's not how an adult acts. A child might come up here and do the very same thing after a service. I don't want to go because I want to hear Pastor Gary's preach some more. It might not be that sentence. But they may not want to go. But it might be because they're hungry. It might be because they're tired. And we expect that children to do that because of some of the things that are going on in their lives. We expect it from children, but we do not expect it from adults. Because typically, children are... What are some of the characteristics of children? Children are impatient. Mom! You know... I my poor wife hears mom so often in a day. I'm sitting there, mom, and they walk right past me, mom. You know, they're so impatient. You know, they keep going, mom. As they're growing older, it's changing a little bit, but they're so impatient. They're often inconsiderate, selfish, disagreeable, ill-mannered, rude, easily distracted. And there's this, I like this guitar here. It's quite, you know, whose is this? They're easily distracted, right? There's something that catches their attention. They're easily distracted. They throw tantrums. And then at the end of this verse, so those are things that children do, but at the end of this verse, he says, but when I became an adult, when I became a man, when I became an adult, I did away with those childish things. All of those characteristics, I did away with them because that's how children act. The characteristics of a child have no positive or beneficial place in dating. You want to do adult things, be treated as an adult? Then be an adult. Grow up. Put away those childish ways. I told you I was going to be very straightforward. But it's a very important topic. If you still act like a child, how do you expect to do an adult thing like dating and have any other results than hurtful, selfish, childish dating that leads to hurtful, selfish, childish marriage? No one dreams about dating someone who is childish, someone who is rude and selfish, someone who throws temper tantrums to get their own way. Nobody dreams about dating that person. Instead, we dream of dating someone who is what? Who is, I think when I was, if I could remember back that far, I'm trying. When I dream about dating, I wanted somebody who is loving, somebody who is caring, somebody who is compassionate, patient, kind, and unselfish. And I believe most of us dream of someone with these qualities. But often end up dating someone with few or none of the qualities and characteristics that we have determined would be important to us in dating. Why is it that people are willing to lower the bar when it comes to who they date and then often marry? Why? Why? And I believe it's often because we buy into one of the many myths that are out there about marriage. The myth we buy into, the myth that marriage will somehow magically make an adult out of a person who is incredibly childish. Now, I admit it will probably help to, you know, grow up somebody a little bit, but it will not magically make somebody an adult or mature. There's the myth that marriage will somehow fix or correct a person. Take away all of those flaws that you think, oh, yeah, I can make that work. Because we think that somehow when we get married, we will be able to change them. Or it will magically happen because we're married. Marriage isn't magic. It won't cure unhealthy addictions for you or for your partner. And if we don't, in fact, I would encourage you, if you have an unhealthy addiction and you're dating, stop dating and deal with the addiction before you continue dating. All you will do is bring somebody down with you. You're not ready. You're not healthy. And especially not to move into that next step of marriage. Oh, it's devastating. If they aren't dealt with, they will lead to heartache. And we can avoid that heartache. It's a myth to believe that you can smuggle all of your hidden garbage, all of the secrets that you don't want anybody to find out about. It's a myth that you can somehow smuggle them into your marriage and marriage will somehow fix it all by itself. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work. Why? Because I was the guy who tried to smuggle a lot of garbage into my marriage and it didn't work. There was a lot of heartache. Marriage isn't a magic place where two flawed people come together and live happily ever after in perfect harmony. That doesn't happen. It only happens in fairy tales. And although some fairy tales are kind of fun to watch when we're young, it's not a reality. And here's one of the most important things you need to know about a marriage. Marriage doesn't automatically make a godly man or woman out of somebody you're dating or your spouse. If they aren't a godly man or woman when you're dating, before you're dating, they're not going to magically one day become a godly man or woman. Do you have the bar set high or are you taking it down? It will cause you heartache. I dare say that some of these myths have left many in our church family living with heartache in their marriages. Do the adult thing and set the bar high for who you date. After all, you're dating for a lifetime mate. That's what you're dating for. So set the bar high. So what does that look like? What does it look like to do this? Well, I'm so glad you asked. A teenage girl was talking with her mom one day, and she was talking about a guy she had met, and she was talking about how incredible this guy was. Oh, he's so good looking, mom. He's got a job. He's a Christian. He's so funny. He's a Christian like you, mom, in fact. He's talking about Jesus all the time, and I could tell that this guy had an authentic faith in Jesus. And she went on and on, gushing about this guy and his characteristics. And finally, her mom interrupted her daughter, and said to her daughter this: "The problem is, that kind of a guy is not looking for a girl like you. The problem is, that kind of a guy is not looking for a girl like you." That daughter literally fell to the ground and began to cry. But this was the turning point for this young lady, for this girl. She had always looked at dating, believing that she needed to find someone, the right person for her. That's another myth, that there's a right person for everyone. You know who the right person is? Besides Dan Wright? Both of my sisters married the right person. They both married Wrights. But do you know who the right person is? The right person is who you marry. That's the right person for you. And so often, we're looking for that right person, never considering. And that's what this girl did. She never considered that she needed to become the person that the guy with those characteristics would ever consider dating or marrying. That's profound. To become the person that the person whose characteristics you want in a mate, become the person that that person will actually date. Adulting through love dates, avoiding heartaches, begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to date, and I believe most people want to date someone with the characteristics of someone who is loving, caring, compassionate, kind, all of those characteristics. We want to date someone like that, a guy or a girl, whatever, the opposite sex of what you are. But so often we don't focus on who we are or what we are or what we should become. We focus on who we want. And then we set the bar high, and yet we let that bar fall flat to the ground. We're willing to compromise. Well, I'm saying focus on a relationship with Jesus, and love and dates will be better with Jesus. And you will have less heartache. I'm not going to say no heartache. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where two sinful people are trying to build a relationship together. So there will be some heartache, but it will be less. It will be better with Jesus. It won't be perfect, but it will be better. Look at the characteristics of a follower of Jesus. So these are characteristics of a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, these things should flow out of you. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we see the fruit of a follower of Jesus, the result of a transformed life by Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. These are the results of a relationship with Jesus. Why are they the results of a relationship with Jesus? Because these are all the characteristics of God. And as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, all of those characteristics now indwell you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we can love like Jesus. We can experience the joy of Jesus. We can be kind as Jesus was kind in an incredible way. when I look at these verses, I believe my wife wants to be with someone like that. When I was dating, that's what I should have seen is my wife, and I knew that, in fact. I knew that's what she wanted. So I pretended, but my wife wants to be with a guy like that. I want my wife to be with a guy like that. So how do I make that happen? I'm not willing to give her to another guy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I need to become that person that my wife deserves, that my wife is looking for. I need to become that guy. When you're dating, you need to look at it in the same way. Become the person that someone with godly characteristics of love, kindness, compassion, and all of those characteristics, become the person that someone like that would even consider dating. Become that person. Change your approach from finding the right person to becoming the right person. Be the person that you dream of, wants to be with. The love story you write will be one of joy and not heartache if that's how you choose to date. You have a choice. This is a choice that you have to make for something that will impact you for the rest of your life. Whether you marry that person or not, there will be scars, there will be heartache from it. Set the bar high for first of all, who you are in Christ. And then for who you date, that bar is set that high for them as well. This is the bar to set your dating height to, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Because it's what most people would like to be true about love, about the person that they love, about the person that they're in relationship, that they want to marry. And I'm going to read this in the American, Amplified. You're going to want this because, listen to this, love endures long and is patient. We have different translations. I apologize for that. You can watch that, but listen to these words. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. Can you imagine being in a love relationship like this? For it is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. I love that. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Oh my goodness, I want to be in a relationship, in a marriage like that. I have to become that person that is willing to love like that, to be in a relationship with someone like that. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Trials are going to come. Things are going to come in your life. Love, God's love in you, flowing out of you to your spouse, it's going to bear up to those under those trials that you will experience when you're dating and then for sure when you are married. Verse 7, let's continue on. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Oh, can you, love believes the best of every person. You're not, it's not that we, do you ever get that? I get that. Oh, yeah, just really, they did that just to tick me off, just to annoy me. No, that's not where our thinking goes. Because this kind of love, the love of a follower Jesus experiences, doesn't have that kind of love, but believes the best of every person, especially their spouse. Its hopes and are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Man, that's what most of us want. That's what most of us maybe wanted. That's what we dream of or dreamt of, dating someone and eventually getting married. In fact, that's the person we should want to be to get ready for the person that we want to date or marry. So how do we get that in a mate we date? Be the mate the guy, girl you want to date is looking for. It's that simple. Be the person, the guy or girl that you want to date, that you dream of dating, that you've set the bar high, is looking for. Adulting in a fallen world where two people still deal with the flesh and sin is going to take something supernatural to stay in love. This world, they know about love. In fact, they know how to fall in love. It's the staying in love that's the problem. Well, as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who is in love with Jesus, we've experienced incredible love. I invite the band up to set up as we wrap up here for the last song. Adulting through love, dates, and avoiding heartaches begins with Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? If yes, then live like him by loving like him and setting the bar high. Expecting to be loved like Jesus. Man, Jesus was the ultimate lover of mankind. He gave everything. Set the bar that high. Be the mate, the guy or girl you want to date is looking for. Maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you want to date like that. You want to date to avoid heartache. Man, in this world around us, you know, consider this. If you're not a follower of Jesus, what would it look like if you were to stop serial dating or binge dating or casual hookups? What would it look like to date like this? How much heartache would you save yourself in your life? If that's you and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you want to avoid the heartache that you've been going through in this dating that the world is giving you, then I invite you today, right now, right here, right now, to become a follower of Jesus. And we know that that's happening at homes. We've heard that that's happening in homes because we've given that invitation. So I want to give you that invitation. It's easy. You can pray that at home by yourself, or you can phone us at the church, or if you're here, you can talk to us. But don't wait. Become a follower of Jesus and begin adulting your way through love dates to avoid heartaches, and follow Jesus in order to prepare to date your mate for life. Following Jesus will make your life better. Following Jesus will make your adult life better. Following Jesus will make your dating better. Following Jesus will make your marriage better. Or maybe you're married. Maybe you're married and you're not the person that your spouse dreamed about marrying. What would happen if we chose to love your mate like Jesus loves you, not expecting anything from them, but willing to give everything for them? The Bible talks about surrendering our complete, especially in marriage, our complete whole self to the other person without expectation. That's what Jesus did for us. Maybe you're in one of those two places or somewhere in between. Let's pray. Lord God, today, there's someone here who isn't a follower of Jesus, someone listening who isn't a follower of Jesus, and Father, man, I just invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that without you, I cannot reconcile a relationship with God. I need your blood to completely pay for my sins eternally. And I accept that Jesus is that payment, as you, God, have said his blood is enough to pay for the remission of my sin. I invite you, Jesus, into my heart. I desire to be a follower of Jesus. Teach me to follow you. Help me to reach out to others to be able to disciple me and walk with me. I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart. I surrender my will, my life to you. Amen. Today, if you are married and you're not the person that you used to be, then let's pray. Father God, forgive me for where I have been selfish and not been the person that my spouse has dreamt of. Maybe because of circumstance, I've fallen away from my relationship with God and I've become selfish and rude and arrogant and I'm acting like a child. Father, forgive me. And thank you that you are gracious. And would you bring healing to our relationship, to our marriage, to our love? And Father, I surrender my life to you, to live for you completely, and to surrender to my life to my spouse. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.